Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. As Massachusetts continues the process of issuing licenses for recreational marijuana shops, the state's Cannabis Control Commission is giving priority status to communities that have been disproportionately criminalized for marijuana possession or disproportionately affected, such as people of color. But in a new survey from the state's Cannabis Control Commission, many so-called, quote, economic empowerment applicants say that they face obstacles in applying and negotiating for those licenses with cities and towns. So far, only 3 economic empowerment applications have been submitted, compared to over 40 from medical marijuana dispensaries and around 24 general applications. Well, WBUR Bostonomics reporter Zeninjor Enwemeka was at the commission's meeting this afternoon. She joins us now. Hi there, Zeninjor.
Hi, Meghna.
So first of all, tell us more about what the Cannabis Control Commission survey did and what it found.
Yeah, so the purpose of the survey was really to get a sense of what the experience has been for economic empowerment applicants. And so the survey was sent out on Friday to the more than 300 people who applied for this economic empowerment priority. But only just over 60 responses. So just over 60 people responded. So it's not statistically significant. And Chairman Steve Hoffman warned about, you know, making big sweeping conclusions from the results so far. Here's what he said.
I think it is premature to draw any conclusions about how this industry is going to evolve. It's going to take some time. We will monitor how this process works. We will tweak whatever we need to tweak to make it work. If we need to go back to the legislature and ask for changes in legislation, we will do so. We will not rest until we get this right, but let's not, as I said, jump to conclusions.
But, you know, the commission still did discuss some top line things that they did find in the survey so far. So the number one reason that respondents said they did not apply for a license was they had difficulty raising funds or capital. About 44% of respondents said that. And another 36% said they're still developing and trying to figure out their business plan. And then there was 33% that said that they did not apply because they're having difficulty obtaining approval and going through the process with cities and towns, as you mentioned.
Right. And of course, a lot of advocacy groups see this as very important because this could be a $1 billion business in Massachusetts. They want to give access to that opportunity to as many people as possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. But, and, you know, and those groups, you know, really pushed to make sure that this was part of the state's cannabis law. So it is in the law for, you know, the commission and for the state to make sure that this is an accessible industry.
Okay, so but let's back up for a second, because the state did come up with a system to help minority applicants. How has that worked on the side of medical marijuana?
Yeah, so this is interesting. You know, obviously, medical marijuana is more established in Massachusetts. But when that industry was taking shape, these economic empowerment priority, this whole idea of equity, wasn't really part of that in Massachusetts. And that was part of the reason why so many people did push for this once recreational marijuana became legal. And so it also kind of highlights the disparities. You know, a lot of these medical marijuana dispensaries have really had more time and have a leg up. They're more established, well more so than the individual who, you know, maybe this is their first time trying to start a business and they're trying to go through this same process.
Yeah.
So, you know, for example, you know, there, as you mentioned, there are only 3 economic empowerment applicants that have completed applications that are currently under review.
Okay. Now, Zeninjor, you've done some really terrific reporting about this process for minority applicants. And, you know, I'm hearing that from your reporting that a lot of people feel that this designation of economic empowerment isn't really helping them getting their licenses. So, like, what are you hearing from them? What are the obstacles they're facing?
Yeah, so it's I've heard from several economic empowerment applicants that they feel like, you know, they basically got this designation, but they still don't have the resources. That it's still a challenge, and a lot of what the commission found in its survey, even though there are a few responses, really mirror what I found in my reporting. I spoke with Kijana Rose, and she was one of the first people to get the economic empowerment priority designation. And she says she's really struggled with the process. And here's what she had to say.
Yeah, it just feels like the process was kind of set up to make it easier for the well-resourced individuals to get right on through. You know, it's not like the CEO of whatever dispensary is like doing this application himself like I am. Like, no, they just call their lawyer and have a lawyer who's versed in that script fill it out. That's a major resource.
Yeah, a lot of the economic empowerment applicants that I talked to talked a lot about those resources and the lack of resources and how they're really struggling to just make it through. I also spoke with Geraldo Ramos. He wants to open a cultivation and retail store in Holyoke. And he says for him, the biggest challenge has been finding investors. And here's what he told me.
So they can put the capital so that we can take their facility and uplift it, fix it up, create our grow rooms, and build their retail store. Make it look, you know, to standards, the security system. It's a very complicated process that you have to go through the state and the city. So do we need the resources in order to make that happen?
So it's interesting. So access to capital, access to legal assistance, these are things that, you know, people who have lots of business connections obviously have more easy access to. So what did the Cannabis Control Commission say about how they might overcome these obstacles?
Yeah, again, several of the commissioners emphasized that, you know, it's too early to draw conclusions just from the 60 survey responses, but they do want to collect more data and leave the survey open so more people can respond to them. And they also, you know, some of the commissioners expressed a sense of urgency. Chairman Steve Hoffman says that he wants to make sure that this issue is addressed and that he would prefer focus groups in addition to the survey so that they can get more data. Here's what he said.
I think focus groups are actually far more helpful in terms of really understanding issues. And my suggestion would be maybe let this go for a little while longer, get some more feedback and survey responses. But once we have, you know, something that's a little bit more concrete in terms of statistical significance, I actually think we should have some focus groups around the state where we just listen.
Yeah. So, you know, the economic empowerment applicants that I spoke to were very clear. They said that they want the commission, they want the state to provide them more resources, you know, all of the things, lawyers, access, you know, technical assistance, training, workshops. And, you know, the real challenge for the commission is maintaining this balance between regulation and access. Marijuana was once illegal and it's very tightly regulated. And so while the state has this ambitious plan to make this new legal recreational cannabis industry accessible to people who have been disproportionately harmed by the war on drugs, there is this balance that they have to navigate between access and the regulations.
Interesting. Well, WBUR Bostonomics reporter Zeninjor Enwemeka, thanks so much, Zeninjor.
You're welcome.